Jesus is talking with the 12, and he says this: "Whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person there and stay at his house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet when you leave that home or town. I tell you the truth, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Be on your guard against men. They will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I tell you the truth, you will not finish going through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his word today. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you once again, please open up your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. This morning I want to ask you the question, can God trust you? Can God trust you? Before Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, he gave us what was going to be called or considered the Great Commission. And in this whole idea of the Great Commission, what he was doing was he was saying, look, we've got a world out here that we've got to be able to deal with. And we have got not just folk from Israel, but we've got a worldwide campaign that has to be accomplished. We have got people all over this world who are lost and don't know Jesus Christ. In fact, we've got people all over this world that don't even know that I am the Messiah. We've got people all over this world that don't know that I died for their sins. We've got people all over this world who are going to need to have the message and the presentation of the good news of the fact that they don't have to go to a Christless eternity, but they can go to a place of love, joy, peace, health, happiness, all kinds of stuff that is amazing. But I'm going to trust you to get that message out. Now, we've read the book. We go through, in fact, as an amazing introduction of the church to this world, we have this book in the New Testament called the Acts of the Apostles. That's A-C-T-S, not A-X-E. The Acts of the Apostles. And what that is basically a description of how these 12 and the 120 accomplished in their world what Jesus had told them was necessary. And as you go through that particular thing, you know that Jesus, right before he was ascended back up into heaven, was taken back up into the presence of the Father. Just before that happens, he's looking around and he's talking with those who are gathered around that mountainside. And he says, I tell you what, man, I got to go. But what I want you guys to do is I want you to go to Jerusalem. And I want you to stay there. I want you to tarry there until you are blessed, endued with power from on high. Because this is a great task that has to be accomplished. This is an incredible mission, and you're so few. But with God, there's no such thing as too few. So I want you to go, and I want you to wait. Tarry there till you're endued with power from on high. Then we come to Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. The 120 are gathered in the upper room. The power of God falls. Why did God wait until the day of Pentecost? Very simple. Pentecost was an opportunity for Jews to gather together from all over the world. And in fact, when you read Acts chapter 2, you see that's exactly what's happened. There's Jews from everywhere under heaven gathered together in Jerusalem. Jesus wasn't taken off guard by that. It wasn't happenstance that people were gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Jesus knew that when he told the boys, go, wait, tarry till the fire falls. When the fire falls, and you're going to have this power, you're going to be able to accomplish what I'm sending you out to do. I'm trusting you. The day of Pentecost comes. They're gathered together in the upper room, and they're praying. God interjects himself in the midst of that prayer meeting by the Holy Spirit coming upon all of them and indwelling each and every one of them and filling them with the message of the gospel. And so all these Jews that are gathered together from all the world as these Galileans, as these simple fishermen, carpenters, laymen, just simple individuals are gathered together, they begin to speak the glorious message of the gospel in all different languages, communicating to people who are gathered from all different nations. And the folk are surprised. And they're looking at this event that's going on. And they've got all kinds of explanations as to why this is happening. One guy says, all of the people are amazed. They go, well, aren't these all Galileans? How is it we hear them speaking in our native tongue? How is it we hear them communicating in our language? One guy steps up and says, I got the answer. They're drunk. Being drunk makes you stupid, doesn't make you suddenly intelligent. I've never seen anyone yet who can speak a foreign language because they got smashed. Never happened. But that's one of the explanations. They're drunk. No. And there's these excuses that people are offering. And then Peter stands up and he says, men, of Galilee and of all the regions. These people aren't drunk like you're supposing them. And then he tells the message of Jesus Christ and his salvation and how the Old Testament had prophesied all that was fulfilled by Jesus and how everything came right together in God's plan and everything was wonderful and how Jesus accomplished the will of God, went back to the Father, and he said, and that which you see now taking place was the manifestation of what Jesus told us to begin with. Wait until you're endued with power from on high. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you and is in you. And it's a fulfillment of John chapter 17, where Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but it's for your good that I go away, for I will send another, the great comforter, and he shall be with you and shall be in you. Day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit falls, is with them and in them, and they hit the streets and they're proclaiming the great, glorious news of Jesus Christ. And as they're doing that, 3,000 men get saved besides the women and children. Wow. That's evangelism. That's the message of Jesus Christ getting out. There's great things happening. That is birth explosion. That's better than the lady who gave birth to 8 kids at once. I mean, this is absolutely astonishing. What do these people do? They're going to go home soon. Where are they going to go home? To the various nations. How are they going to go home? Not the same as when they came. Because suddenly, Jesus doesn't live there. He lives here. And they're going to tell their friends, their neighbors, their communities about Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus looked at the 12 and he says, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I want to reread that passage of Scripture in the Gospel of Matthew. I'm going to read from verses 16 to 23. I just kind of want you to listen to this because I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard. You may not have that. I just want you to listen. This is what Jesus says right in the middle of this dissertation as he's speaking with the 12. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues, and you shall even be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak, for it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you'll be hated by all on account of my name, but it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. But whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. If that isn't trust, I don't know what is. Jesus is looking at these guys, and he knows. He knows what's going to be taking place in a very short period of time. He knows that these 12 that he's placing great confidence in and great trust in right now are going to be the ones who run all different directions when it comes time for the crucifixion. He knows they're going to run. He knows that Peter, you know, the big mouth, Peter, the big tough guy, I'll never leave you. These guys will probably all hit the streets. Not me. Not me. You can count on me, Jesus. I'm going to be there. I will fight for you. I will do everything that is necessary. Jesus knew that this is the guy who 3 times in the night is going to go, oh, I don't know him. I don't know him. He's literally going to get to the point of where he curses and swears. I don't know. To a little kid. I don't know. But Jesus knows that in the end, Peter is going to be a changed individual. The same Peter who denies Christ is the same Peter that stood up on the day of Pentecost, delivered that incredible message where thousands gave their hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. You know, it isn't just Peter who's called to carry the message. It's not just the 12. It's not someone else. It's each of us. Every one of us. We are to carry the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Jesus placed his trust in this 12. And you and I are here today because of their faithfulness. My question is, should the Lord tarry for another 100 years? I pray not, but should he? Will there be enough of a witness left that our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren have the truth of the message of Jesus Christ available to them? Because God can trust us. As I look around the church world today, I fear for future generations. When I see denominations departing from the truth of the gospel, I fear for future generations. As I see compromise and a wishy-washy idea of who God is attacking even those who have been conservative Bible-believing churches, as I see that happening, I fear for the future generations. Can God trust us? I'd better get going on the outline. I want you to notice 5 things in this particular passage, and I'll move extremely quickly. I want you to notice the warning. Secondly, the promise. Number 3, the betrayal. Number 4, the results. And number 5, the directions. Let's look first of all at the warning. We find it in verses 16 through 18. Jesus is saying this. He says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the courts and scourge you in their synagogues. And you shall even be brought before the governors and the kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." And we saw the literal fulfillment of that over and over in the book of Acts. And you can remember that there are a couple of times when the Apostle Paul appeared before King Agrippa, where he appeared before Festus, where he appeared before the governors Quirinius and various others, and he was to be judged because there are those who delivered him up. When you look at the end results of the 12 that are trusted, only one of them survived their full length of life. And that was John. He's the only one. The rest of them were all martyred for their faith because they were lambs going out into a world full of wolves that wanted to destroy them. John didn't exactly have it easy. He was burned in oil. That hurts. John was snake bit. That's no fun. He was banished to an island, left there to die with the diseased and the infirmed and the prisoners of the world. It's not easy. But he's the only one that survived his full length of life. Peter, according to tradition, was hung upside down on a cross, crucified upside down, because he said, "I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Lord." So they crucified him upside down. James, according to scripture, or according to various traditions, was torn apart by wild animals for sport. And if you go down through and you check various places like Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see people who have literally been decimated because of their faithfulness to Christ. But you know what? he could trust them. And Jesus, even in this particular passage, he gives the warning and he lets them know, look, you're going to be going out, but you're going out among wolves, and man, are they hungry. And they want you for lunch. And that's exactly the way the world is today. The world is hungry and they want Christians for lunch. Can God trust us to be true to the message? But notice the promise that comes out in verses 19 and 20. And when they deliver you up, do not become anxious about how or what you will speak. Now here it is. For it shall be given you in that hour what you are to speak. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. That ought to take some of the pressure off, shouldn't it? I don't think that there's a one of these guys that relished the idea of having their life taken for their faith. But you know what? They were so submitted to God that they were willing to die if that's what it was going to take for the message of the gospel to get out. It was for a testimony. For a testimony of Jesus, Jesus goes on to say, these men are going to hate you because of me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's true yet today. If you're going to be faithful to Jesus Christ, if you're going to honor him in everything that you do, people are going to hate you because of whom you are representing. Don't give up. Number three, look at the betrayal. Look at the 21st verse. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. That's betrayal, folks. When our own families turn their backs on us, when our own families turn us over to the authorities, and I'll tell you what, the closer we get to the return of Jesus Christ, the more we're going to see that. And I know that there are people who will say, not in the United States of America. Don't be fooled. But you see, we are so advanced. We are just so awesome. We are so incredible. There would never be persecution here in the United States of America. Don't you be fooled. For nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Fathers against their children, children against their parents. And then shall come the end. It'll happen here. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. Be aware. Betrayal is on its way. Look at the results, verse 22. And you'll be hated by all on account of my name. Christian. But it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. We're starting to see the breakdown happening in this nation. Christians are being told to be silent. They're wanting to tear down the crosses at cemeteries that watch over the fallen heroes of our freedoms. It's coming. Communities are telling people, you cannot preach publicly. What you do inside your church is fine. Don't you carry it outside the doors. It's coming. God is no longer welcome in our public forums. He's not allowed in government areas. He's not allowed in schools. He's not allowed in anywhere where there's the American taxpayer dollar, because there might be someone who gets offended. For crying out loud, offend them. Believe me, it's coming. Do you know what the church does? The church sleeps. Can God trust us? Number five, the directions. Verse 23. But whenever they persecute you in this city, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you shall not finish going through the cities of Israel until the Son of Man comes. Do you know what he means? He means keep it up. Keep it up. We have to ask ourselves the question today, are we to obey man or are we to obey God? Are we to obey, be quiet, we don't want to hear about your faith, keep it inside your homes, keep it inside your churches? Or are we to obey Jesus Christ who says, let your light shine before all men? Who are we to obey? Are we to obey a nation that says, keep your nose out? Or are we to obey Jesus Christ when he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature? Go. Preach. Make disciples. Who do we listen to? Can God trust us? Would you please stand? I'm going to ask you at this time, if you would, to please take your hymnals. I'm looking at these two songs that are on 363 and 364, and I don't know which one I want to sing. We'll go with the one that's written in, My Jesus, I Love Thee. I want you to notice that third verse that says, I'll love thee in life, I will love thee in death, and praise thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And say, when the death dew lies cold on my brow, if ever I love thee, my Jesus, it's now. Can God trust you? Can God trust me to make that our heart's cry? There's a lot of work that needs to be done. The fields are white, but the laborers are few. Can God raise up laborers out of this church who will be faithful, who will go carry the truth of Jesus Christ? Can he trust us? If you question whether or not you can be trusted, this altar is the place you need to be this morning. I invite you to come as we sing number 364. And I'll tell you what, no one will bother you today. Just time for your communion with Jesus. Let him reveal to you whether or not you're trustworthy. Number 364. Our gracious Father, I pray that you will raise up out of this church warriors for your cause. That you will raise up those who are willing to go into the harvest fields and reap. That you will raise up those who will be willing to go into the harvest fields and sow. That you will raise up those who will be willing to go into the harvest fields and water. and that you will raise up people who will be willing to give you the glory. For you are the only one deserving of the glory. As you give increase, fill us with hope. Fill us with commitment. Fill us with your Holy Spirit day by day, moment by moment, that we might be more obedient to you than we are to a world that says, be quiet. Now, Father, watch over us as we leave here today. Let us leave this place to serve you. And Father, we'll give you thanks and praise for all you do. For it's in your awesome and incredible name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.